Hello, welcome back to another Radio Roundup from the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, it's a good morning. Arsenal into a Champions League final, on the brink of sending West Ham down on Sunday as well. So Matt is not in a very good mood, but his beloved Man United are climbing the table.
I think we'll beat you on the weekend. I think that'll be what throws you off.
It's a big game though.
We've got a lot to play for, mate. So, and I watched last night and I was just so bored, man. I mean, I don't know how you lot watch it. I think the crowds in the stadium looked bored. They were trying to cheer at the end. Took everything they had to get up off their seat to act excited, but for a large part they were just like, God, this is just dull, which it was. So yeah, hopefully we can make a few Arsenal fans upset on Saturday.
Sunday, mate, I believe.
Sunday, whenever it is.
Know your fixtures, mate.
I've left Bowen in my fantasy team anyway, so I'm hoping for something special from him.
Yeah, at the old Olympic Stadium on Sunday as well. But they won't let Athletics have it for the Worlds. How do you feel about that, mate? You caught in two camps between Athletics and football?
Yeah, I think it is a shame. I mean, surely there's a, you know, I guess World Athletics want to have the championships at the end of the season every year now. And to be fair, I'm behind that decision. Yeah. You know, I like the fact that the season ends with the major championships. But I guess, yeah, an easy solution would just bring the championship forward to August, right? Like, be an easy solution. I think the problem is it's, you know, West Ham wouldn't mind the whole, I mean, it is a bit, it's poor. You know, the stadium was built for the Olympics and...
Yeah, but they should never have let
Athletics, but this is...
If they wanted to use it for Athletics all the time, so...
Yeah, obviously. And the stadium wouldn't survive if it was just used for Athletics, let's be honest. So it needs to be used for something.
For championship football.
Championship football. But this is where I think that, look, we've got Crystal Palace. I've heard like reports that they're finally getting some good funding together. They're going to start to renovate that. And you know, this is where we need multiple, at the demands.
Birmingham, like it's a good stadium, and maybe it's not got the same size and things like that, but We can have it in another stadium and it will be, the atmosphere will be electric. It'll be tighter. Tickets will be harder to get, but hey, it's not the end of the world, right?
So look, we'll see what happens. It's still quite a long way off, isn't it? I mean, I'm just reading actually the Olympics is going to be, or the government are considering putting in a bid for, supporting a bid for Olympic Games in 2040, which would just be bonkers. It doesn't feel like that long. Well, it wasn't that long ago. It was 2012, to be fair. No. But
then 2040 does sound, that sounds like a lot.
That is a long way away.
No, it's not, is it? Yeah. Crazy. And mate, as you go, what's been going?
Yeah, good. I mean, you're the one creating workouts.
Well, yeah. So I've realized you can basically, you can start adding your own exercises and I guess putting together your own sort of routine yourself. In the library, and kind of adding it, creating a personal protocol essentially that you can do, but you can also share it with your friends. And I think this is something that say you're at going to the physio, there's a few areas of weakness, or you've got an S&C coach, you can start inputting some of these aspects, some of the kind of human element into the app. And then creating your own workouts you can share with people, or for yourself, mate, or your coaching, you can share that to the group as well, and they can start adding that within into the same app integration and adding that as part of their routine.
Very useful. No, from a coach's perspective, that would be very, very useful. So I'm glad you found that feature, mate.
So mate, once I've put together a super plan, maybe we'll share a Sunday podcast routine once I've decided on all the exercises. But I'm trying to get my paddle mobility up at the moment, so yeah, that's next on the agenda.
You keep working on that, mate. You keep working on that. Look, we'll move on to the title of this podcast, which is the Commonwealth Games selection policies. And obviously, we've got the three home nations, I guess, kind of four home nations, but we're going to focus on Scotland, England, and Wales, and just give you guys, the listeners, a little bit of context behind what it takes to actually qualify for Commonwealth Games. Because, you know, many a time we know selection policies are harder, but when there's no trial race, when there's no race to decide that team, or at least help decide that team, it becomes even more complicated. And we kind of, at the end, I think I'm going to pitch the question to Lum, who's got the best selection policy, who's got the easiest selection policy to follow, because one of the...
I can answer you that right now.
Okay, let's answer it right now and then we'll see if the listeners disagree by the end of the episode.
The Welsh policy is the best policy because it's the most clear cut.
Okay.
And that's all we want is clarity. Essentially, the Welsh one, if you run a standard, you got a good chance of going.
Yep.
There's obviously, look, there's connotations of all of them and we will get into those, but essentially there's less discretion from a selection panel in the Welsh one than in the Scottish one or the English one.
Yep. One could argue it's easier because there's less people they have to try and accommodate for.
Perhaps. But you could just make the standards
harder so,
harder so that it's still clear cut, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do tend to agree with you. I think theirs is, the easiest one to get your head around as an athlete. And I think that's the important thing. It's as an athlete and coach, because the people who are worse off when selection policies are overly complicated is always the athlete because they're sitting there and they're trying to figure out, how do I get picked for this thing? What are the hoops I have to go through? You've got a checklist and you're trying to tick everything off. And in doing so, you actually lose the reason why you're doing this sport. Your season just becomes very murky. You start trying to chase all these things that you've got to tick off in order to gain selection. And before you know it, you're like, crikey, I've lost the love of racing here. I've lost the love of competing. I'm so hyper-obsessed over head-to-heads and average times I've got in my last four races. I'm so worried about going into a race which isn't going to be fast enough because it's going to pull my average down. All of this stuff is just going to make the season extremely unpleasant for athletes. I can only think of that. Plus, the selection is very early. For all of them, it's quite an early window. I mean, I think England is the latest window, and that's the 14th of June. Wales in May, they're literally in 2 weeks, their selection window closes, and Scotland is early June. So it's early on as well. So you're even fighting against things that happened last year, which were kind of out of your control. And it's a very difficult team for athletes to make. And a lot of it will just rely on who decides to give people the green light.
Yeah. Which is always the biggest complaint we have, right? I think we understand how hard it is to, like we were talking about football earlier, obviously people start talking about World Cup squads, like that's a ridiculously hard job to make those calls. But athletics is one of the sports where we should be able to be a bit more clear cut and make it easier for the athletes.
Agreed. I think when there's no trial race, to make it as simple as possible, you probably just have to take the fastest people. And, it's not fair, but I think not having a trial race isn't fair. So, I think that's the way you decide this thing. But let's get into it, mate. Where should we start?
I guess we should also start just before we get into all of them, that all of these are part of the nomination process. So each governing body, so take England Athletics as an example, nominates athletes based off a selection policy to Team England, Commonwealth Games more broadly, which obviously encompasses all the other sports as well. And they ultimately have the final say. And that's what I mean by, so the Welsh Athletics one, for example, they will nominate everyone who has that A standard, but technically they could get declined in place of a netballer or whatever, for example. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's very difficult for a lot of these governing bodies is, there's another layer to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is a shame, and which then leads to the fact that there's restricted squad sizes as well. They don't want too many people competing in the Commonwealth Games. I think we've had this many times before, the whole, maximum squad sizes are just such a shame because
it's up the road.
I mean, when it was in Birmingham, it was the same. In many ways, it felt worse in Birmingham. There was pretty much one per country, one per event, sorry. In a lot of, for definitely Team England, it seemed that way. It was extremely hard. And it's just such a shame it was in Birmingham. You know, this is a place people go to every single year to compete at the national championships. It seems similar in Glasgow as well, that, it's on home soil, but we're going to ring fence how many people can do this.
Yeah.
Which is a big shame.
And I don't know if it's because we weren't thinking about it as much, but I seem to remember Gold Coast. It just did not seem to be as bad. And that obviously was a competition with enormous costs associated with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I could be wrong. We weren't making podcasts then, were we? So
no, we weren't, but I do remember Gold Coast. Like,
you know,
I do remember Gold Coast is a lot of people went out there. You know, there was big training camps beforehand and stuff. Mm. It was Gold Coast was early as well. It was April, wasn't it? But yeah, I actually can't remember the selection policy for that one. We'll focus on the here and now. Hey, look. So I think firstly, let's compare standards, mate. Let's reel off the standards because I think that's the obvious one. Welsh Athletics are the interesting one because they're the only selection policy with two standards, A and a B standard.
Yeah, they certainly are. And should we start with those Welsh standards then? Let's just go through. We'll go through all the women's ones for each country. Then we'll do all the men's so we don't get so confused, right? So women's 800 for Wales, A standard 159.4, and that gets you a nomination. If you're under 201.3, you get yourself considered for the standard.
Yep.
Okay. Then we move over to Scotland, 2.82. And obviously that's just one standard, which gets you considered. And then finally, the England standard is then a 159.9.
Yep. And the men's? So they're kind of England and Scotland have just gone in between Wales' A and B standard.
Yeah. Men's side, 146.3 is the A standard for Wales. 147.2 is the B standard. Scottish standard then is 146.68. And the English standard is 145.0.
Mm. Quite a big difference there for England. That's 145. I do think 146 compared to 159. For Wales, that is like 159 is much harder.
Yeah,
146.
I wonder what they look at for these. I wonder if they look at the world rankings or if they look at how many Welsh athletes have run those times in history or in the previous X amount.
Yeah. With all the selection policies, they all quote the same thing. We want athletes who finish top six. We want athletes who medal. I mean, Jesus, to state the obvious. Yeah.
Well, I think Wales one is top six only, I think, and then Scotland and England says medals. So that's, I guess, their rationale.
Mm.
But you could, depending on how many previous commies you look at, you could, yeah, change those figures, right? And this is what I find such a farce as well, because it's like saying, oh, okay, well, so if you look at the like times in certain finals, like depending on the race or the season, like it's just completely different, right? Makes no.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Athletes. I think the 2022 Con Games was extremely strong. Extremely strong. You know, and if you go back and look through history, some Con Games have been, you know, they've been weaker as well. So it does depend what athletes turn up. You know, you think of the one in Boehm. Yeah, I mean, it was like Keeley, it was Moore, it was Whiteman, it was, you know, Ollie Hall won, didn't he? Cherrett, like that was a stack on games. Right, let's just, I think for Wales, just read out the A standards on the, so we'll just go 15, 15, 5, 10, steeple.
Yeah. So Wales A standards, so obviously 159.4 for the 8, 405.9 for the 15, 15.07 for the 5, 31.42 for the 10, 9.26 for the steeple.
That's the women, yeah. And the men are 146.3, 335.4, 13.26, 27.35, 8.16, which is, yeah, the fastest standard there. And the B is actually 8.33. But yeah, so their A standards for Wales are very, you know, I would say the 800, they get far harder as they progress. You know, the 800 at sort of 159 and 146, so a lot of people in and around that. By the time you get to the 10K, it's 27.35 and 8.16 steeple on the men. And again, for the women, 9.26 steeple, 31.42. Very tough. England?
Yeah, England. So obviously, yeah, like I said, 159.9, 405.8. They've got a mile on there at 425.0 as well. 15.20 for the 5, 32 flat for the 10, 9.35 for the steeple. Men's side, we're 145.0, 336 or a 353 mile, 13.25 for the 5K, 27.50, and then 8.30 for the chase. So much slower.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those longer distances much more achievable. Obviously 13-25, 15-20, very similar. And then we move over to Scotland.
Yeah, so Scotland's women, obviously at 2 flat point 8, 4.056, 15.26, 32.17,
wow, 9.55, wow,
for the steeple. And then yeah, swing over to the men's side. Yeah, 1.46.6, 3.37, 13.37, 28.01, and 8.36.
So the easiest standards to hit are definitely Scotland.
Yeah, but essentially they mean absolutely nothing. But on the policy. And that's, I guess, what we'll get into, is that they have selection standards, but essentially these are just, and to be fair, so I know I said Wales at the start. This is what I've been arguing for in previous pods, is standards like this, but then a trials race, which is first three or first two, whatever your quota is.
Yeah.
I want to see really achievable standards that just, as long as we're not going to have someone that's getting lapped in the chase, right? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so you agree with like Scotland's thinking of like...
I agree with the standards, yeah, but then obviously having no trial races then kind of just makes it completely murky. They could essentially pick whoever they want, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
But in terms of like, I would like to see selection standards be that sort of, these sorts of times. Yeah, that makes sense to me, right? 13.37 in the 5K. Great. Okay, so you go win a British Champs, you go. And it's up to the guys who have run 13.10 in Boston to show that they can actually do something in a race.
I've always agreed with that. I think Scotland had their phase one of selection was way back in October, and effectively they're just anyone who placed top 12 at the World Championships in Tokyo were pretty much a lock for the Com Games, and they were announced, and they can fill up to two athletes per event in that scenario. That's why we've seen Whiteman and others announced for the commies. You know, we saw them announced pre-Christmas. And do you know what? I like that. I mean, that's just common sense. You know they're going to be on the team unless something terrible happens, like an injury. If that happens, they'll pull out late. But I do think that is common sense. And do you know what? It builds excitement. People know that Jake Whiteman, world champion, world silver medalist, is going to be at the Commonwealth Games. And, you know, the only requirement they ask of those people is they commit to the Commonwealth Games and they take it seriously. And obviously they have. So... Would you have liked to see a little bit more of that in other countries as well? I think it would have been good to certainly from England's perspective to start to lock down a few big names who are going to headline the Commonwealth Games, that they can start to put up, you know, on billboards and posters and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. But I think I'm not sure why it is, but I think there's always been a sense of Scottish and Welsh athletes being a lot more into the commies than English athletes.
Do you know what it is though? I think they're a lot closer to the governing body. If you're a Welsh athlete, if you're a Scottish athlete, you're getting a lot, of support from your governing body. You're a lot closer. The countries are obviously smaller. You're in contact with these people a lot more. And I just think they feel more passionate about it because of that. You know, they want to go do something special for their country. Whereas, you know, there'd be a lot of English people who probably have very, very small contact with England athletics. They might even be based over in America, training. Yeah. And so they're just going to be less tired.
I don't think anyone in England grows up and with their goal of to get an England vest, to get a Great Britain vest, right? But I'm not saying Scottish and Welsh athletes don't think they want to get a Great Britain vest, but I think that element is like, I'd love to represent Scotland, or I'd love to represent Wales at commies. I think more so. Maybe that's unfair, but I think more so in those countries, I think is, yeah.
Certainly more passionate, aren't they?
Yeah.
Certainly more passionate. Now, the one thing I wanted to really dive into is, and the reason we sparked conversation is the England selection policy has been chopping and changing. And I think they had some updates a few weeks ago, as late as a few weeks ago. And let's get into the complexities of basically the criteria. And so we'll start with England, because honestly it is one of the most confusing criterias there is. Obviously maximum three per event, but then they start to look at the gap to a medal. How far is a ranked athlete away from a top three? For me, that's we're starting to get to points. So analyzing how far people are off. I mean, in an event like an 800, anyone can go get a bloody medal. You know, tell Carl Langford that, tell Ben Patterson that, you know, like, you know, guys who have sneaked bronzes in their time. You know, I appreciate sometimes in a 10K and a 5K, it's a little bit more black and white. But then they start to talk about the average top four performances in each event throughout the qualification period. Bearing in mind, the qualification period was from May last year till June this year, you know, 13 months of a qualification period. It's a long time to take a top, you know, an average top four performances.
Yeah.
You could have someone who had a great flurry at the back end of last year, you know, or someone who's just been lucky enough to get that Diamond League and run that 331, but has been running 336s all year, for example, in the 1500. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
Well, yeah, technically, right, your top four could be three from last year, right, maybe, and one from this year.
And that I know. And when you're averaging times, you know, you could have someone who's... you know, if you take someone who... like Sarah Calvert, for example, is a pretty good example, right? Like, won the British Champs 1500 metres. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the winning time was, like 412, but that's probably one of the best races of her career. What's that worth? Yeah. You know, so when you take it, and that was, you know, you gear your season. For a lot of people last year, they would have geared this season around the championships. And this is what I mean by this year, you're looking and it's like, you think about top four, some people might be like, crikey, I need to get four performances out.
Well, and this is what goes back to, right? If you're an athlete and a coach and you're serious about the commies, and that's exactly what you got to think, okay, where can I do four super fast races?
Exactly.
That's your way of getting selected, right? According to this. But again, it's one aspect of a criteria because they're also looking at previous national and international championship performance history, head-to-heads, current, recent injury, illness. They're mm-hmm. also saying they're going to use data source from Para 10. So I don't know how they're going to do that because that website don't work. So I don't know how they're actually going to do this in the selection meeting. I wouldn't want to sit there and try and sift through that. So, yeah, good luck to them. But it's,
yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it, and we've discussed as well, the word potential just gets thrown around so much. And I think in our sport, you know, the judge of potential, like, why don't we just focus on the here and now a little bit more? Yeah. If someone's got potential, the chances are they'll go and show it. You know, they'll progress, they'll transition. And for someone to determine someone has more potential than someone else, like I know, it's just very subjective.
Yeah,
very subjective. And I know you could argue that, you know, it is an important part of like talent spotting, you know, and it's like sometimes you can, you know, some people will have a brighter trajectory than others or whatever, but who's... You know, who are the governing bodies to say that and, you know, just let the events play out in many cases.
And I think this is where it's so different from like other sports. So like, yeah, I mentioned football earlier. That's where the coach of the team is picking his or her team for the tournament. But this is people completely independent of the coaches and the athletes and the training ground and what they do every day. And things like that. So like these people are so far away from being able to make those calls compared to a football manager or whoever, when they're trying to pick a team of people that work well together, who they're working with day in, day out. Like some of the other Commonwealth Games sports, for example, they'll have centralized programs.
So Wave, it, you know, it is, and the selection, designing a selection policy must be the hardest job in the world when you don't have a trial, to be fair. So, but even when we do have a trial, it seems to be quite difficult. But the first,
well, I guess you could literally say the number one ranked athlete in each event who achieves the selection criteria by X date will be selected.
Yeah. No, I do think the number one objective for all selection policies should be make it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
If it's simple, we should also add that all of these policies are 14, 15 pages long. So there's a lot in there. We're only touching the surface, really, but there's a lot on relays. Thankfully, we're not involved. round one of England Athletics are basically anyone ranked top eight in the Commonwealth rankings list as of Monday, the 15th of June, will be picked as long as they have one qualifying standard, which they probably will. The two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So that is kind of what you were saying on the, like, whoever the fastest is.
Yeah.
Because if you're ranked in the top eight on the Commonwealth list, you're going to get picked pretty much. The selection panel will consider.
Yeah, I think that's
round one. And then obviously when you go into the further rounds, round three, they then start to consider whether you're a medal potential, you're a contender.
Whereas Wales have said, we will nominate you. And so essentially the Welsh governing body are saying, if you achieve this time, as your governing body, we are going to back you and basically present you to Team Wales and say, we would like to put this athlete forward. Right. Yep. Team England are saying you can achieve our standard and you can be ranked top eight in the world, but we're going to consider whether we back you to put you forward to Team England.
Yeah.
And then that's the problem.
Yeah. Their round three is potential, and then the round four is future potential. And then obviously they've got their standards and they'll look at head to head. So that's the England policy. You mentioned Wales is a lot more black and white. Like, if you hit the eight, you're going to be nominated, and it's up to Commonwealth Games Wales to basically just give the green light and say, yeah, we agree with that decision. Chances are 99% of the time they will. And in the B is, okay, then they do a little bit more digging and they decide whether it's worth nominating you forward. Who else have they got on the periphery of that team in other events that they're going to back? And I think that's where it does come down to. When you look at the Commonwealth rankings, there will be instances where some people will be much higher on the rankings than others. And that's fair enough. So Wales, like you said, is pretty much black and white. Have they got anything else in, their criteria is quite as simple as like hit the standard and, to be honest, we'll nominate you. And otherwise we'll look at your current form and we'll still make a good case for you.
Yeah, I think if you get a B standard, And those B standards are pretty achievable as well. So it gives athletes opportunity. Like, just looking at some of those now, 8:33 for the men's steeple, 9:49 for the women's steeple. So they're standards that, 4:06 in the women's 15, 3:36. Okay, so athletes that are outside of these A's, that just miss out, they can get considered. And I guess they're just protecting the fact that if they get multiple athletes that have B's, they can decide whether taking someone in the eight who's got a B standard is, whether that's better than taking someone in the 5K who's got a B standard, for example. And I think that's fine, because like we said, we don't have a trials race, and they don't have enough spots to take one in each event or two in each event, essentially. So,
And to be fair, in that regard, Scotland are also quite similar. They'll look at the top lists when they're deciding the team. They'll look at the top list commies and see where you are. They'll look at your major competition history, current form, head-to-head, injury illness. That's it. But they do. You read somewhere they had, I can't see it on the selection policy, but you did, they have got a maximum squad size, and it does say in the selection policy that they're, who they pick will be impacted on the number of overall allocated places they get.
Maybe it's not confirmed yet.
No, it's 25.
25. So Scotland, the home nation, have a tiny, tiny team. England 60. And I don't know, it doesn't say on Wales's policy, but maybe they do have a relatively small team as well. So I guess slightly less of a issue for them. But Scotland, there is big demand. Like, there's a lot of events a punch above England.
So
there you go. There's the policy breakdown. So I guess it's not too dissimilar from what we've seen before for world champs and stuff like that. But I do think when you start to get into the depths of average performances, head to heads on athletes, I just think the head to head thing for me is just not that relevant, because you're judging people on time trial head-to-head, and it's a completely different how you approach that as an athlete. If there were no pacemakers on the circuit, then I would head-to-heads are important.
Look at head-to-heads. And we could do everything basically.
Look at head-to-heads. Look at head-to-heads. If someone's beaten someone 10 times and they've and the other person hasn't won one race against them, then that's fair enough. But when you're in time trial scenarios and everyone just wants to get the standard, I mean, you're not, people aren't focused. Of course, there's a little bit of where you're placing, but I think that's difficult.
Well, it's like looking at
different times in the season. Someone could beat you four times early season, but by the time the trial comes around, their form's dipped, you're peaking, and you're ready to wipe the floor with them, but you might only beat them once because you only race them once. when you're in your peak. So that whole head-to-head thing for me throws athletes off early season, and it just causes, in reality, it will cause athletes to avoid each other.
Well, look at someone like Hocker last year, right? In Grand Slam and things like that. And
yeah.
It's because they know, those American athletes know they can just get ready for the trials.
Doesn't matter what they do. Yeah.
Then they need to be ready for the, so they're just doing the best thing for them to get themselves ready for those two races, right? It's like Absolutely. Looking at Nadal's head-to-heads on clay ahead of a grass tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And look, it's cross. Well, yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. If it's cross country, different ball game, there's no paces, you know, that's very relevant. But when it comes to track and field, I think head to head is the most irrelevant thing. Because it's about what you could do on a day. You know. Right. I mean, look at Gressier, for example, like in the summer last year, people like that, you know, and all about what you could do on the day. Let's just quickly go through. Let's have a look at the rankings. Who are we going to see there? We'll start with the women's eight. So far, obviously, Keely Georgia, Walcott Nolan's within the standard. Abby Ives is within the standard for England. Boffy's Welsh. Erin Wallace is Scottish. She's got the standard. Sarah Calvert, Scottish, got the standard. So then a few on the cusp. I'm just looking at last year's rankings, mate. You've got like Mina Scatchard and people like that who are just on the cusp, but she's run basically the same this year, too flat. So we've got a good, what was that England standard again? It was 159.9. So
yeah,
we've got three or four for England. Scotland have a couple, Wales have a couple in Boffy. So going to be competitive. Men's eight.
Yeah. And in the men's eight, I'm just trying to make sure they've done them from the end of May. But yeah, so Bergen's got it. Jonas, Patterson, Hussey. Justin Davies has the Welsh one, Crawken, Callum Dodds, Wyman, Bottrell, Kerr just outside. But then the Scottish one's different, actually. He's just outside the English one. He's checked the Scottish one. I guess, yeah, Kerr might want to.
Mate, where's Jamie Phillips from?
Yeah, he's got a Scottish one. But Scotland does say that they'll only, or in their rounds, they will pick you for the event you competed at the World Champs.
Yeah. Yeah. Where? Jamie Phillips. This guy's 19. 145 this year. Is he English? Anyway, there's a new name for you. There's a new name for you.
Yeah.
Very impressive. And obviously, yeah, Tin and Crookin leads the way. On 44.5, boxed it off.
The only one with it this year, but obviously had it last year as well. So you think, but that's smart, right? He's gone and raced in Australia in February,
where he's based. Yeah, he's clearly in a very strong position at the moment. Let's go men's 15. Last year, the men's 15, a standard. Just checking the England standard mainly 3:36. So
Higgins has it.
Yeah, already. Good for Higgins indoors.
But
this is where someone like him is going to get shafted if they bring this how much weightings they put on these averages and stuff.
Well,
like
I see this is it, right? George Mills, 20th of June, 2025. That's going to count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 328. Yeah,
Kerr, Giles, Wyman, Gawley.
So Fogg's the next guy. McCluckey's got it.
Boyack's
got it. Davies, Tom Keane, Sam Chagg, Henry Jonas is 36.03, George Cootie's 36. I think Cootie's got the mile as well. He's gone 50. Yeah. He's gone 52 or something in the mile, hasn't he? Yeah, McMurray's just outside. Hayward, mate, good on him. See that 3:37 the other day? Boy's coming back. Love to see it.
That's what I mean. Commies year.
Oh, mate. Yeah,
loves running for Wales. So
it's the year Hayward comes back.
Yeah.
Bradley Giblin. There's a new name for you. Out in America, 3:37.1. Man. Men's 1500 running. Let's go to the women. Who's got it on the women's side?
Yeah, so 4:05 is England standard.
So obviously you got Bell, Walcott Nolan. Yeah, Ricky Wallace. Snowden's 4:05 flat. She's fine. They're just going on this year. Tia Wilson's just outside 4:06. 0.4, so she's very close. But again, you know, it's going to be so tough for these women, especially the ones in America.
Yeah, so Calva has it from last year.
Yeah, Scottish, Shannon Flockhart, Ava Lloyd's just outside, Carrie Hughes, Alex Millard. There's a bunch of girls just outside that 405, I think will be attacking this. Ava Lloyd. Yeah,
Ava Lloyd, obviously, Wales. Carrie Hughes as well, just outside that. They're both like 0.6.
Carrie Hughes, I would have thought, would go steeple. But yeah, you've then got people like, you know, you go a bit further back. It's just like Mina Skatchard, Belshaw. You've got a bunch of women who are like 408, 409, who are going to try and attack that mark. Mm. Okay. Let's move up to the five. So as always, 8 and 15, lots of competition for those spots. But the five being a little bit slower, I think that's what's going to be very... By the way, for the 5 and the 10, they're taking just two. Your average will be made up of two performances versus four.
Including road times.
Yeah, I mean, actually, a lot of the women have gone quicker on the track. But yeah, you've got Nuttall, box, Fitzgerald, box, Melissa Courtney Bryant, probably box, obviously Megan Keith, Scottish, India Weir, Alex Millard's well inside, 15.02 last year, Carrie Hughes, 15.05 last year, Ockenden, 10, Fry, 20 last year, and then Eloise Walker's 23, Phoebe Anderson, 24, Hannah Rowan, 24. Jeez, yeah, there's a lot of women in and around that 15.20 mark that are gonna challenge.
Yeah, and that's it. Whereas obviously you look at that Welsh one, 15.07, you're thinking nice and simple for the
athletes. Just
whereas right, and this goes back to my point. Whereas you take the England one of 15.20, imagine how good that trials race then is, because everyone in that race knows they're going into it with a shot of making the team. Whereas obviously when we do our Olympic trials, it's not the case. It's two athletes maybe who just know, I just need to get top two, and I'm kind of not really racing the other people because they'd have to stand anyway.
This is it. Men's 5:25. So the England standard just is what, 13:25. So inside that, obviously BT Malarkey. Leonard was just outside indoors. I guess he's going to try and chase that, considering how close he is versus the 10. Tamer, 27, Wheeler, 30, and obviously he's been in and around and quicker in previous years. Cootie's 33, Alex Thompson, 33. This is just this year. Dargan, 37. So we'd like to see a few of these guys pop a big one. There's a lot who haven't raced. I think there's going to be a lot of guys who could challenge 13:25. I think that England team over the 5,000 is going to become, in 4 weeks' time, that is going to become a very different rankings. Everyone's probably only got one crack at this. Possibly two, but just looking at the schedule, you know, having to run two 5Ks in very close proximity. And then obviously everyone wants to do British champs because everyone wants to try and go to Euros as well. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, the 10s as well, always hard to find races. And we're probably like, people going to even go and race a 10 now, apart from the trials.
Well,
right?
On the 10, interesting you say that, because obviously we've got the trials on the 17th, 10 days. And then after that is a European 10,000 meter cup. And when GB pick that team, I'm not entirely sure, but that will be an opportunity. I mean, Gressier's racing that Euro 10K cup, right? It's, you know, and I guess as soon as that team is announced, that is going to take away people there is an opportunity there. There's also an opportunity at that Manchester 10K, which is the 30th of May or 31st of May. So there's three weekends back to back where there is an opportunity to run a 10,000. You know, high quality 10,000, because you can obviously try and do it on the road as well. It's Manchester 10K. Like, I know they do run quick sometimes, but is that the place to do it? I don't know, you know, but, what is this race shaping up like in 10 days time as well? The British champs, obviously, is Wave Light, international fields. I wonder how that's shaping up. I haven't seen any start lists or anything yet. But also, I want to know who's doing the European 10K Cup, because there's an opportunity there. But you're probably only going to do one of them for the 10, you're right.
Yeah, and then so people at the time, obviously Callie Way inside it, Megan Keith, Izzy Fry's inside it, Donnelly's 2 seconds outside it. Not too many to choose from for that, I guess. Looking down, you obviously got Sarah Astin, Alex Millard, a bit further down. But
big jumps for them, I think, to get near the 32 minutes.
Yeah, I do think with the 10, you just got to box it off in. You got to box it off in the, on the road in the winter, haven't you, really? Just given how...
Watch out for Valencia, yeah. And
how inconsistent it is on the track to try and find a race. But yeah, but actually this year, there's not that many, you know, it's only track 10,000s, yeah, BT and Malarkey. And then obviously road 10K, we've had several men who have been under that 27:50 commies time. You know, Wigfield, Manthorpe, BT, Butchie, obviously Scottish, but Zach Mohammed even. Leonard was just outside 27:57 in Laredo. So, yeah, I think that road 10K in Manchester could be quite stacked.
Mm.
Could be an opportunity there where people run the trial on the 17th and go, hey, boys, let's give this thing a crack in Manchester. Can we get a little pacer? Can we get a group together if the weather's good? But it's no Valencia, is it? Jesus. Great Manchester 10K. Up and down.
Well, then, as we know, mate, the crowds in Valencia don't help.
Yeah, but I think there's not even many. There's not, when I've watched it, there's not that many crowds in at that Manchester 10K. It's not like a, it's not like huge atmosphere either. Don't they do a lap of Old Trafford and come back basically as well? I can't remember the route, but I don't know if it's.
Yeah, it's not going to inspire anyone, is it? The theory.
Well, there you have it, mate. There you have it. This week's podcast, we thought we'd dive into those selection policies. And I think it is worth, you know, sometimes we look at athlete seasons and we just go, oh, you know, they did perform or did this, did that. And, you know, sometimes when you dive into these selection policies, you actually realize what they're having to go through, what they're trying to tick off, the objectives that they're trying to tick off. And it's a layer to racing that, to be brutally honest, you could just do without if you're an athlete. I think there is a world where it does. It can naturally, it can affect you because not only are you stressing about what you're doing, you're then also having to constantly look what other people are doing. And, you know, everyone will say just stay in your own lane and focus on what you're doing, but easier said than done, hey?
Well, I think when you know that it's not just about you going and beating someone else. So say it's me and you, right? And I can just think, oh, okay, all I got to do is I got to beat Matt in 3 months' time. Like, it's not that. It's, okay, they're going to take our average 4 performances. So if you go run quick indoors, am I then like, oh, I've got to do an extra race here because my average over 4 races is not going to be as good as yours? That is, like you say, that is what you can could do without, right? Yeah, I just think as well with a home commies, you got to think in terms of the fans, the spectacle of having a trials race, surely is something like the nation should be aspiring to do and like get people excited in athletics.
No, we should always push a trial. We should always push a trial. It's the most any trial is 9 times out of 10 the most exciting race of the year.
Yeah,
without doubt. Without doubt. Right, just before we finish up, mate, I just wanted to run through the start list for Belfast Irish Milers because we know it's quick. Talking about standards, there's going to be a whole host of standards that get smashed up in Belfast. We see it every year. You know, the 800's 144, the 1500's low 330s, the 5 is quick, or 3K is it. So I've just got the start list here. Let's run through the international races from a British standpoint. I mean, Calvert's going to run the 8. Interestingly, Abby Ives is going to be in the 8. Carmen Langer's in the 8. Hannah Cameron. And then you've got a few internationals in there. Katrina Bissett's in there. Louis Shanahan's in there. And then, yeah, there's an A race. There's a B race as well. It's kind of classic BMC format. And then the men's international 8. Guy Limoff, Will Rabjohns, Henry Jonas, Callum Dodds, Jack Higgins, Justin Davies, Tom Randolph, Tom Keane, David Race. So very, very competitive and lots of Brits in there. Well, pretty much all Brits, actually. And then we'll go, let me scroll. Men's 15 or women's 15. Melissa Courtney Bryant, Ava Lloyd, Emily Parker's doing it. Molly Hudson, Lila Belshaw, Beth Morley. So these are all women who are just on the cusp. Like they'll want to go 405 for sure. Men's 15, Piers Copeland, Ben Patterson, Isaac Kemeli, Jesus. Ted Higgins, Callum Elson, Archie Davies. Actually, that's it. Not too many. I mean, there's not too many Brits in that one. I thought we'd see a few more, but nonetheless, we'll be pretty sharp. Women's 3K, a lot of people just opening their season, just seeing anyone of interest in there. Nah, not from a sort of Brit perspective. Men's 3K, anyone of interest. Finn Prophet's doing it. Beyond that, nah. Henry McCluckie's doing it. Matt Rams is doing it. Henry McCluckie's doing it. So some good interest there, actually. And that's it. Irish Milers.
That is it, yeah. And then, look, the races will start coming thick and fast. After this weekend, obviously, we mentioned the 10K trials coming up. See who runs there. And I think, yeah, once these commies teams do get announced, like you say, we can start getting excited, start wondering how these finals are going to shape up. And I guess how interesting the commies are going to be compared to the Europeans, perhaps.
It's funny because obviously, yeah, you have a few Africans at the commies, you know, distance races makes it interesting. You know, I think New Zealand and Australia are killing it at the moment. You look at their youngsters, like from the mid distance standpoint. So yeah, many ways the commies is always attractive, but then just the depth of Europe and the stars that we could have at the Europeans, for me, the Europeans will be very, 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 very special. I think that'll be the one to watch this summer.
Yeah, and it's also seeing which athletes kind of, obviously, you talk about people like Kerr in that Scottish team, it'd be spearheading that, but he's got eyes on bigger things, I think, this year. Well,
I think something we haven't discussed in terms of Europeans is athletes doing their non-favoured event. Mm. You know, is there a world where we see Whiteman go for the 8? At Europeans, like, and what effects, what's the ripple effect of that, you know, for people who are trying to make that first team, you know, on home soil, there's an opportunity there. So Europeans, the standard's a bit more attainable, but, you know, and then you've got maybe Whiteman Kerr just shifting events and other people stepping down, you know, on the women's side. What does Keely do? What does Georgia do? Do they double? Do they take, you know, a place?
Well, there was like a team manager, right? And you're thinking, well, I'm putting Kerr and Whiteman in different events. I'm putting Whiteman in the 8 and I'm having Kerr in the team. Yeah. Maximize my points, you know?
Yeah.
Maximize
the medals. Yeah. So it will be, in that regard, I think it will be a very, very interesting summer. Because it's a year where those top athletes can play with it a little bit. And yeah. So I think seeing what they're going to do is going to be fascinating. But hey, mate.
Yeah, great that wraps us up. We'll be back with another episode very soon. Thanks for listening to us. Enjoy your day. Catch you soon.